So what I wrote on the board is unity, followed by God, Spirit, Word, and Body. So what I'd kind of like for us to look at this evening, the world we're living in today, is it about unity? Or does it seem like no matter where you look, things are just, there's division in between nations, there's division between people, there's just divisions everywhere, it seems like. If you do find a couple of groups getting along, part of me says just give them 5 or 10 minutes, they'll find something to fuss over. And thinking on that, I felt like the Lord was talking to me about the unity that we should have as Christians. And what should that look like? How does that show us a different light than what we may have in the world? So I'd like to start off in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Starting in verse 12. Says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Now, I wanted to start this off pointing out this, that what we've read so far has been the singular. Paul's talking about himself. He says, I've started off on this course. Christ has apprehended me. I'm trying to follow him to the best of my ability. And then he changes to a different tone here. He says, let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and mind earthly things. And what I want us to stop and look at here is he starts off, after he talks about his personal convictions, he starts off talking about us. And calling for a unity. He says, yes, we all will have attained different levels. There will be differences of understanding, differences of the way we see things. But he said, where those differences occur, let God work. Put that in God's hands. And then he said, what we've attained together, let's hold together. Hold it in unity. Walk together in it. Don't walk separately. Don't walk differently. Be careful of people that might teach differently. Why? Did it sound like they were nice people? People whose gods were their belly? So I would like this to stop and just start looking at the unity that it takes to let us walk together. What does it mean to let us walk together? There's a reason why the word body is on the board. If any of y'all ever stepped out on a sheet of ice and one foot went one way and the other foot went the other way, and down you go, what happened? Your body wasn't walking in unity. One foot went left, the other foot goes right. I don't know about you all. I have not been trained to do the splits. When something like that occurs, I go down. I fall. We're being encouraged here to look at not just our life as a singular event, a separate event, something that it's just me. It's just my walk with Christ. I just need to make it to the end. You know, that is where Paul started. He said, I am striving for this. And I'm going to follow Christ to the best of my ability. So let's all get started on it. He wasn't talking about something where I can do this on my own. He was talking about a group effort to bring everybody along. And as different folks made gains, let's all look at those gains. Is that a gain for Christ? Yes, okay. Maybe we all should start measuring up. Maybe we all should take a look at that. One of the things the world likes to do is, I'm going to call it put checklists together. I get a little chuckle sometimes if you get on the internet, and even on news sites, there'll be a blurb at the bottom, you know, 5 steps to ace your next job interview. Like if you just sit down and you step one, check, step two, step three, step four, I'm going to have a job. Is life that simple? No, there's more to it than that. Sometimes we tend to go around looking at people and saying, you know what? And, you know, brother so-and-so, he doesn't do this. Sister so-and-so's made allowance on that. And since I would like to do that, I'm going to make an allowance too. And then people start looking around for just generic Christians. You know, well, this person claims to be a Christian and they're doing it, and I think they're living a pretty good life. And so I think I'll take their stance on this. How does that impact the body? How does that impact the work of Christ? If we go looking around for permission to do things, you know you'll find permission. Generally, what you look for, you will find. Now, whether it should be followed or not is questionable. The devil will give you permission to do a lot of things. So one of the things I would like to ask us to consider tonight is what God with a big G or God with a little g are we following? When we're looking to follow Christ, as was pointed out, are we staying true to that? Or are we getting distracted with maybe a little God? Something that starts breaking up the unity of where we're trying to go. I've read, unfortunately, in the news, articles on different ministers, not in our church, and failures they've had. And now that, there's humanity involved. But the thing that I've noticed keeps getting called out in these articles is oftentimes these failures were known to other people within the church and was either not reacted to or kept quiet. And then in the article, at the end, they'll usually paint with a broad brush. Everything with the label Christian. And so these men, not affiliated with us, their actions are painting us. Because to a person in the world, if you say, I'm a Christian, they're going to be like, yeah, I've heard about you people. You're one of those people. The ones I've read about on the news. Why? Because there's not a unity in the body. There's people that claim to be in the body that aren't. I'd like for us to look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. Now, this may sound like a funny passage to talk about unity, but Moses was 40 years old. And he knew where he came from. He knew his people. He saw they were oppressed, and it went into his heart to take some action on behalf of his people. Now, he'd had Egyptian training. He was well trained, said mighty in words and deeds. He had what it took, if you will, to be a leader. And so he acted on his own understanding. How did that work out? Here he thought, I'm trained, I'm ready, I've had everything put in place. I've had the best training from the Egyptians. I mean, to be honest, at the time, what a better place to get a training in leadership and politics than in Egypt at the time. They were the kind of the world power. And he had had that training, and now it's time for me to put it to use, freeing my people. How did it line up with God's plans? God's view of things? So he sees some people struggling, realizes one of them is one of his Jewish brethren, and so he goes to the man's defense and ends up killing the Egyptian and buries the body, and then it becomes known. Now, had God given the Ten Commandments yet with the thou shalt not kill? Not yet. But do you think God's view on killing was any different before the Ten Commandments than after? Now, if Moses had been really seeking to follow the Lord and to be walking in unity with God, I wonder if we might have had a different story. If he had came out and said, okay, Lord, I really would like to help the people. What's the proper way for me to do this? How can I walk in a manner that truly shows my alignment with you, with your people, with you as a God? Instead, he took a course of action that probably from an Egyptian view, you're a leader, somebody's oppressing your people. What did the Egyptians do? Sick the army on them. What did the army do to people? If you didn't surrender, they killed you. Okay, I can do that. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to save this fellow Jew. I'm going to take the right action. But it wasn't in unity with the Lord. And so we don't hear from Moses again for 40 years. At all. He fades away. But that's not the end of it, though. So let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 4. Starting in verse 27. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and they had looked upon their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. So now it's been 40 years. Moses sees the burning bush. The Lord starts talking to him, says, I need you to lead my people. What kind of reaction did Moses have this time? It's about time, Lord. I'm a man mighty of words and mighty of deeds, and it's about time you called me back up. Was that Moses' reaction? No. Moses' reaction this time was completely different. Lord, I'm not a person that can lead these people. I'm not the right one. I can't do it by myself. Do you know, I think the Lord picked him for that very reason. I know you can't, Moses. And now that you recognize it and you're willing to maybe lean on me, let me show you some things here. I've often been amused when he cast the staff on the ground and it turned into a snake. He ran from it. You know, isn't that very human? And does it sound very brave? This is the leader that the Lord has chose. Somebody that when he throws his own staff on the ground and the Lord turns it into a snake, he takes off running. But what was the Lord looking for? I wanted humility. I wanted somebody that would listen, somebody that would obey, somebody that would work with me to lead this people out. Somebody that would lean into me for everything. Somebody that would be unified with me. You know, Moses' sense of self-knowledge, worldly power, capabilities, they don't show up in this picture, do they? A man mighty of words and deeds suddenly says, Lord, I can't speak in front of people. You're going to have to get somebody else to do that. And so God says, I will. I'll send your brother Aaron. And so they meet up. And what happened when they met? I mean, we just read it here. They meet up. They share the conversation. Moses tells him what's in his heart. And then in unity, they go before the people, didn't they? And in unity, they took care of what God had told Moses. Said, Moses, you can let Aaron speak for you, and here's some signs you can give the people. And with that unity, what happened? And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Now, what would have happened if Aaron had questioned Moses when they got together? Moses, are you sure the Lord really said that? I don't know. Maybe he meant something different. Maybe you misunderstood what he asked you to do. How would that have gone towards going to the people and presenting what the Lord said? Or, this is another what if. What if Moses and Aaron had got together and in their discussion, Moses would have said, and you know, Aaron, I don't feel like I'm the one. And what if Aaron would have said, okay, well, I'll be the leader and you can just kind of hang around, pray for me, and if needed, you know, step up. Do you think that would have worked? We know how it went when Miriam and Aaron made a comment about Moses and who did he think he was. When the Lord basically said, I have chosen this one and let me show you. We have to have unity with God, unity with calling, and unity with each other for it to work. That, you know, God called Moses to lead and he called Aaron to speak. And now that some of us may say, well, what's the difference? In high school, one time we were out in the gym practice outside on one of the things on the football field, and a car went to turn into one of the driveways and ran off into the ditch. And it was a pretty deep ditch, about three and a half feet deep. The car couldn't get out. And a bunch of the boys decided to go over there. They figured, we're strong enough, we can just pick this car up and get it out. So they headed over there and got around the car, and they would go to pick the car up and couldn't. And you'd think, I mean, there was probably 25 boys. You'd figure that it would have moved. They could get it moving, but it didn't go anywhere. And the coach was sitting there kind of watching with a little amused look on his face, and he finally said, boys, tell you what, the back wheels are still up on the road. Why don't you guys that are on the back just pull on the car? And you guys that are down front, pick up on the wheels to help it roll up the bank. And as soon as they did that, it came out, looked like easy as all get out. Because if everybody's trying to lift the car, everybody's trying to pick the car up, and then you got half the boys that are going to try to walk up a steep side of a ditch holding a car. Didn't work. Yes, they were in unity, if you want to call it that. But it wasn't what they should have been doing in unity. And once the division of what to do was called out to them, And then they put their unity together to where, okay, we're going to pull and you're going to pick up. The car came right out. And sometimes I think we want to do things our own way. We want to, Lord, I want to do this for you. Well, did he call you to do it? Where does he want you at in his body? You know, we can't have all heads. If our bodies was just all heads, how would you pick things up? How would you get around? The body needs different parts. And if we want to claim our portion with Christ, you know, we have to be in unity with him. We have to be in unity with his calling for us. Now, I'd like to read next 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 19, says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." You will hear a lot of times in our world today people that like to say, "Well, I've read the Bible myself, I've studied it, and that's not the way I read it." How many different ways do you think there is to read the Bible? I know, like I've mentioned before, I have an atheist friend, they've read the Bible. And they do not see it the way I do. Why? They're reading a written word without the understanding of the Holy Spirit. You know, it said here that the word wasn't written by men, but by men as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, have any of y'all ever, and this is more probably anybody that's read my handwriting, have any of y'all ever saw handwriting where you're like, "I have no idea what this person means. This handwriting just, I can't make out the words. Maybe a thee or an and here or there, but I got to go ask, what did they mean?" Well, if you go to somebody that doesn't really know that person, maybe hasn't seen their handwriting, and ask them, "What do you think this means?" Do you know what they're going to do? They're either going to shrug or they're going to take their best guess at it. But now if you get around, and my poor folks at work, if you get around some of the people that work for me and show them that note, someone says, "Oh yeah, we recognize that. That when he usually writes that, this means that." And it's more like reading hieroglyphics sometimes. They figured them out. Why? Because they know me. They've seen the writing before. They understand when I've wrote certain things, what I'm trying to communicate. And you know what? If the person would come ask me, sometimes I can read it easier than everybody else. I do have to admit, sometimes I look at my own handwriting and it's like, I can't tell you either, sorry. We'll try better next time. But when we're reading the Bible, do you know the Bible says search the Scriptures? Why? Because in them you think you have salvation. This is what we feel is leading us to heaven. Are our lives in unity with this? Is our beliefs in unity with it? You know, Peter talked about having having a more sure word of prophecy. Do you know why he referred to having a more sure word of prophecy? Because they had the prophecies from the Old Testament, and Peter was saying, and we saw them fulfilled. Go take the word, go search the Scriptures, go find the prophecies, and I can tell you where it was fulfilled at. I can tell you how that one was taken care of. He said, we've got a more sure word of prophecy because these aren't unfulfilled promises now. These are fulfilled. And if you just go to the word, you will find them. The Acts. In Acts, it talks about the Bereans. The Bereans were said to be more noble because of what? When the gospel was preached, did they just accept it? No. Is there anything wrong with accepting the gospel? No. That's why it didn't say the others were wrong. It just says the Bereans were more noble. More noble because they said, okay, we've been brought up to understand the law from a certain view. And you're telling us now that there are some things that we need to understand better. We're going to go back and we're going to make sure it lines up. And we're going to go dig deep to get to the rock. Do we do that when the truth's being put forth? Do we take into account and say, okay, maybe I need to, even if you agree with it, maybe I need to go dig into it. I want a better understanding. I want to be solid on that rock. The one thing I will say is, you know, the Bible hasn't changed. You go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, and it was still pointing to the cross. Even back then. And now we look back to it. Paul made the statement for us to follow him as he followed Christ. Why did Paul make that statement? Why didn't Paul just say, well, just follow me. I understand Christ. No, but Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What did he want you to do? Make sure that as Paul, when I say do something, don't hesitate to go get your Bible out and go make sure that it lines up, that this is the way Christ walked and Paul's going the same way. So the teaching lines up. Let's go the same way as Paul. Let's walk in unity. So how do we do that? Have we been doing that in our lives? Do we take the time to go look at the Word, look at our lives and say, does it line up? And then I'd like to go to one last verse, Jeremiah 6 and 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Today, there's many people that are scornful of organized religion. There's people that say, well, I believe, but I just don't believe in organized religion. I believe, but I don't think you should. I don't believe you have to belong to a church. I don't believe you have to follow a certain set of doctrines. You know, if you talk to a lot of these people, it boils down to, I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want to conform. I think I can find my own way. Do you know if we're not careful, a spirit of independence can creep into our lives and cause us to slowly turn away from the unity of the Scripture, the unity of the Spirit, the unity of God, and the unity of the body? Can any part of our bodies truly exist once it's detached? I mean, they do transplants. They take a part out and put it in somebody else. But what if they just took the part out and put it on a shelf? You know, how long before it starts deteriorating? Why? Do you know there's nourishment that comes through the body? There's sustenance that doesn't happen without the body working together. The movement of the muscles actually helps pump the blood around your body, keeps it moving. It's not just your heart doing all the work. The lungs. Without the lungs, how would you get the oxygen in there? There's so many different parts of our body that if we're not in unity with the body, if we say, I don't want to be a part of it, we need to be careful. God doesn't want us to be separate. He wants us to be a part of his body. I challenge us all. Let's try to be united with God through his Spirit and his Word and fitly joined into the body of his church. You all pray for me.